Good morning. Y'all glad to be here this morning?
Yes, sir.
You know, I was thinking about it. I've been doing a lot of traveling the last couple of years. I've heard a lot of sermons in a lot of places and a lot of styles. And some of those messages, I'm like, wow, I didn't think about that. I want to bring that back here. Talk about that. And so a lot of times I have to translate because congregations are just different. And so I translate it into the West Side version of the message. But some of them don't translate so well because some of them need to be delivered in a certain style with a certain, exuberance that just doesn't translate well. But they also don't work very well if they're in congregational response. But I got one response. Let's see if I can get more. So let me start again. Good morning, everyone. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes.
All right. Because you should be glad to be here this morning. It's a wonderful thing to get to be with your family. It's absolutely wonderful to set your mind on God, to praise God. And God's worthy to be praised. God's worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. The name of the Lord is worthy to be praised. Psalm 113. It's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing to get together where it's just a great day to be alive. It's the Lord's day, and it's a great day to be alive. And so we praise Him for everything that He blesses us with because we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's because of His deep, abiding love that we have all the blessings that we have. Now I'm going to start with a reading from Joshua chapter 6. And I'm going to ask if you'd like to, for you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. So if you'd like to, go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God. And if you're following along, it's going to be in Joshua 6. I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 16, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 20. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. So it may sound a little different than yours, but it's all saying the same thing. Joshua 6, 12. Now Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. Then on the seventh day they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. Only on that day did they march around 7 times. At the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, and when they heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you for this chance that we have, this hour of worship. And I pray that you be with me and that you help me to speak truth to your glory and to the edification of everyone here. And Father, I ask that you hide me behind your Son, hide me behind the cross, and let only you shine forth so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight and be a glory to you. In your Son's holy name, amen. Now before you take your seats, and again, only if you feel comfortable speaking in the assembly, I want you to repeat after me. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I can be what God says I can be. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Please be seated. That's one of those motivational speaker things, right? It's words of affirmation to yourself. It's things that you need to believe, things that you truly need to believe, because one of the blessings about the Christian experience is you are who God says you are, and you can be who God says you can be, and there's nobody else that can define you but Him. And there's nobody else you should let define you but Him. And everything we do is because of the strength He gives us to do it. One of the songs we sing, one of these beautiful hymns we sing, says, all life is borrowed from Him. Everything comes from Him, and it originates with Him. And so I want you to reason with me today from this thought, from this question. What's standing between you and your blessing? What's standing between you and the blessings of God? Because God has blessings for you. When we talk about the blessings we have, the physical and the spiritual blessings, God has blessings for you, but things can stand in the way of your blessings. When we sing the song, Count Your Blessings, we know He has blessings, and it's a testimony to God, it's a testimony to His character that He has blessings for us. The Greeks believed in all these different kinds of God, and when they heard about the one true God, He was a different kind of God. A God full of love, who in fact, His nature was love, and He had blessings for them. It's a testimony to His promises. We just sang in the song that He keeps all of His promises. Because the Bible says, God is not a man that He should lie. God is not the son of man that He should repent. It's in Numbers 23. Because what God says, He's going to do. Every single time. So God's not the thing standing between us and our blessings. But when we consider the passage in front of us, when we consider Israel there at Jericho, it's based upon opposition. It's based upon people moving through obstacles, moving through opposition. Because the Christian experience we know is not a bed of roses. It's not necessarily easy. In fact, the Bible says, if you're just sailing through easy, you're probably not being a very good Christian. It's not a bed of roses. There will be opposition. There will be obstacles that we must face in our lives. And these obstacles can stand between us and our blessings. They can stand between us and what God wants us to have. And so when we reach those obstacles, we have two choices. We can either let them stop us from continuing in the path that we need to continue, or we can learn how to bring down those obstacles and we can continue toward the experience that God intends to have for us. So many times when we reach those obstacles, though, we become frustrated, become depressed, disappointed, become overwhelmed, and just turn around. But that's not what God wants from us. You know, the scripture says that we walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. We walk not by what we see, but we walk by what we know. We walk by who we know. Because God is all powerful. There's nothing that can stand between God and what He wants to do. God doesn't have to check with anyone or He does something. God is sovereign. And the beauty of Him being sovereign is that He always does what's best for His children. Always. Some of the teens from Westside and Woodmont and Weatherford, the three W's, they were all out at the Braddocks on Friday. And they were studying, if your child asks you for bread, are you going to give him a stone? If he asks you for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent, an egg, a scorpion? How much more will your heavenly Father give you good things, give the Holy Spirit? And we understand that. We understand that. But sometimes there are obstacles. In fact, we say that sometimes. If you go pray for patience, what might you get? You might get trials. Trials are obstacles. But they lead you to what God wants you to have, which is patience. Sometimes we don't want that. God, I wish goodness on this person, or I wish someone would reach out to this person, and then they give you get that chance. And you're like, oh, I didn't mean me. I meant like Stan or Dennis could go, oh, you want me to do it. So there's a portion on us for receiving what God has for us. God's not going to do all of it Himself, because in many cases we have a responsibility to be involved in the appropriation of our blessings. There's an old adage that says, what's for me is for me. It used to be real common with Southern preachers. What's for me is for me. And basically, God's got his gifts and he gives them to me. And that's a half-truth. Because what God has in store for you is for you. You just may not get it. And that's, of course, true of salvation. But it's true in many aspects of our lives. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to have that unity with God. And so as we look at our story today, it's born out of opposition. It's born out of obstacle. It starts, you know, way back with the Israelites in Egypt. And they ended up being enslaved, and they were under the taskmaster of Pharaoh. And they cried out to God. And the Bible says God heard their cry. And so he sent a deliverer in the form of Moses. He sent a deliverer. But it turns out that God doesn't deliver without a destination in mind. God doesn't deliver for the sake of delivering. God delivers with a plan. And so his plan was to deliver them from Egypt, but deliver them to the promised land. So, he was going to send them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And he said that I'm going to give this to you because I promised it to your father, Abraham. And God is faithful. It's like we said before. God does what he says he's going to do. God is faithful whether we are or not. God is faithful. I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build. I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't plant. I'm going to take you out of this hard situation in Egypt. And I'm going to take you to the promised land. And when they left Egypt, they journeyed in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. I can't even imagine it. I'm 40 years old right now. I can't imagine walking around that long. Now that I am 40, I can't imagine walking around for an hour without getting sore or something. They're going around for 40 years. Now, if you just were in Egypt now, and we'll just assume there weren't walls or blockades in your way, it'd take you 11, 12 days to walk from where they were there in Egypt up to Canaan. 2 weeks. And it took them 40 years. It took them 40 years because of their disobedience. They grumbled, they complained, and they didn't have faith. Because they actually got up to Canaan pretty quick. But they didn't have faith. And so God wasn't able to bring them into the promised land. Sometimes talk God is all powerful, and someone will say, well, if God is all powerful, can he make a rock that's too big for him to carry? Or can God lie? If he can't lie, he can't do everything. It's a question of his character. It's a question of who he is. God couldn't bring them into the promised land now because of who he is and because of who they were. So he had to do some drastic things in the wilderness because their hearts and minds were not ready for the promised land. You see, you have to be prepared for the blessings that God has for you. You have to be prepared. Your heart and mind have to be prepared. They have to be prepared for what's in store for us. And the Bible tells us that those that were without that faith, that were over the age of 20, they died in the wilderness. All of them died. Never getting a chance to experience the promised land. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to die in the wilderness. I don't want to let I don't want to forfeit my blessings because of a grumbling and complaining spirit. And there's no reason for us to grumble and complain, because God's given us what we need to overcome our obstacles. God's given us everything that we need. So here they are. The older generation has died in the wilderness. And you've got the next generation. And God said to Joshua, here's what I need you to do. You can go back and read Joshua 1 through 6. That's what we're covering right now. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to make flint knives, and I need you to circumcise this next generation. Because this generation that had been born in the wilderness hadn't been circumcised. And they needed to be before they went to their promised land. They needed to be prepared, as we said. And so now they're here and they've got the faith so God can bring them in. But they needed something more. And circumcision here was a form of sanctification. It was a form of setting them apart from the nations around them. And likewise, we're called to be sanctified. You were chosen. You're born again, and that's wonderful. Praise God, you were born again. That is great. But after you were raised, if you didn't walk a new life, then how are you sanctified? How are you set apart from the world? There's an article in the bulletin today asking some of those questions. How are you really set apart from the world? Can people who see you tell you're set apart from the world? Not being sanctified can prevent you from experiencing all that God has for you. After you were saved, you could try and sit on your laurels, but if you did, you'd be like the Hebrews, where it said you ought to be teachers by now. But they weren't. They were immature. And it turns out, there's only so much you can give a child. There's some things, there's some things you can't give a child because they're just not ready to handle it. So you need to ask yourself, are there some things that God has planned for you or some things that God wants you to have that He can't give to you? Because you're not ready for it yet. And are you working to get ready for it? So we have to participate. They were participating in their sanctification. We have to participate in our sanctification. And one of the crucial ways we do that is by studying our Bible. And we often say that you can't just study your Bible on Sunday and Wednesday. It ain't going to work. It isn't going to get you where you need to be. Because you need to learn about God. You need to learn about His character. You need to learn about how He blesses. You need to learn who He is. Because Sunday and Wednesday isn't going to cut it. And actually, the daily Bible reading isn't going to cut it. If you're doing the read the Bible in a year, that's good. Don't stop. Keep doing it. But it's not going to be enough. It's not going to immerse you in the Word where you can become one with God. Because there's no way you and I can serve a God that we don't know. That we don't really know. We can't serve an idea of a God. We have to know Him. We have to know Him for ourselves. You know, Granny knew God, and she had a relationship with God. My mom, she knows God, has a relationship with God. But I can't get by on Granny and Mom's relationship with God. I have to have my own relationship with God. We have to grow. I mean, amen. We have to grow. When you come up out of the water of baptism, you feel such joy. And you feel such peace. But that joy can grow. That peace can grow. That's not the pinnacle. You don't hit the top at that point and then I'm coasting to death. It can grow. You've seen some people in their 70s, 80s, 90s that are just overflowing with the joy of the relationship that they have with God. Overflowing with it. I mean, think about it. When do you get the peace that passes understanding? When do you get it? Somebody. What did Paul tell the Philippians? He said, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make known your requests to God. Make known your requests to God. And then, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So there's another way we participate in our sanctification. Prayer. You've got to pray to God. You've got to often talk to God. Did you pray this morning? Did you pray with breakfast? Did you pray since then? Maybe like Justin, it was only like an hour. I prayed at breakfast and Josh started praying an hour later. It was only an hour. Filling the downtime with prayer is a great thing. Filling your drive somewhere with prayer is a great thing. Something pops into your mind about something you got to do tomorrow, why wouldn't you pray about it? Why don't you say, oh, I forgot, I've got to do this, this, and this tomorrow. God, be with me tomorrow and help that go just as good as it can. Think about God being there all the time for you to talk to. Think about that relationship that you grow. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was wondering how the relationship with my friend who's in prison now is going to go. Because I don't get to talk to him every day. How's it really going to weather 7 years? Well, how's your relationship with God going to weather if you only talk to him 30 seconds before each meal? Or even if you only talk to him in the morning? Or even the morning and at night? You have to participate. You can't ask God for wisdom and expect that you're going to get it if you're not willing to study your Bible. You can't ask God for peace and expect that you're going to get it if you aren't willing to talk to Him. You have to prepare yourself to receive your blessing. And that's what the Israelites had to do. They had to participate in their sanctification, and they had to prepare themselves to receive their blessing. And it's something that we can all do together. We can set ourselves apart from the world when people see us edify one another the way that Christ edified the disciples he was around. When they see us support one another in the way that Christ supported the disciples that he was around. We can set ourselves apart from the world when we grow as a body and bride of Christ. Not just as individuals, but as the body. We just said, you know, I struggle here. We said before, you can't just read your Bible on Sunday and Wednesday. Well, you can't just be a part of the body on Sunday and Wednesday either. The body can't just go hopping around with only one foot on Mondays and Tuesdays. The body can't operate correctly with only one hand on Thursdays and Fridays. It can't go without an eye on Saturday. But the question is, how did you help the body on Monday? How did I help the body on Tuesday? Brothers and sisters, if we sanctify ourselves in that manner, then God will bless us through us. Let's move on to the next point, because I think I have 2 minutes to do 6 points or something. The Israelites prepared for their blessings. They also celebrated. After they got done with that, they celebrated. And what were they celebrating? They were celebrating the Passover. So they were looking back, and they were looking at the way that God had already blessed them. They were keeping that in mind. Every now and then, we need to just pause and look back. We need to look back at the blessings that God has already given us. And we need to praise Him for not dealing with us according to his according to our iniquities. Because you sitting there right now are a testimony of the good that God has done for you. Because if he dealt with us according to our iniquities, we would have been cut off a long time ago. But he didn't deal with us like that. So you're a testimony right now, just sitting there. We need to sit back and think about how far God has brought us already. He's brought us a long way. We've got a long way to go, but he's already brought us so far. It's funny, I was listening to this sermon be preached, the untranslated version of the sermon. And it had a lot of, you know, can I get a witness in there, right? Can I get a witness? Do you have something to celebrate? Of course you do. Of course you have something to celebrate. And you need to celebrate. Aren't you glad that God didn't leave you where you were? And you're where you are now. And think about how glad you'll be if you continue on to where God wants you to be. Because when you praise God, you know what? When you praise God, it has a way of lifting you up out of sadness, lifting you up out of your circumstance to realize what's really important. Faith will make you see the deliverance from your obstacle while you're still standing in front of that obstacle. So we must praise God. We must celebrate. That's what the Israelites did. And they paused for a moment, celebrated God. And next we're going to see that they're getting ready to shout. And so back in Joshua chapter 3, they're coming up to the Jordan. They're gathering at the Jordan. Joshua's gathering them. And just like God, he brings them to the Jordan when it's overflowing. Most of the year, the Jordan's like a trickling brook. You can hop over it in some spots. But he brings it to them when it's overflowing. And God likes to do that. God likes to bring you to an obstacle when it's too big for you to handle, so that you have to depend on him. So that you don't try and depend on yourself. Because you know what God wants? God wants love and obedience. And he wants his children to depend on him. So he brought it when it was overflowing. When the snow from the mountains was melting, it was overflowing. And so the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, when their feet touched the bank, it said it dried up and the children of God crossed on dry land. But right after that, they set up memorials. They piled up rocks. Now why? So that they could remember how God had blessed them. We need to do that, brothers and sisters. We need to set up memorials. We need to set up things so that when we pass by and we see them, we praise God for what he's already done for us. Again, something I need to do more. I've got a couple. I've got a little hospital band sitting on my shelf at work. It's next to pictures and knickknacks and Legos and things, whatever else I have up there. And it's small enough that you can just slide it on my thumb, but it used to go around Jason's ankle. And every once in a while it catches my eye and it brings it to mind and I can praise God. But I got to speed up. I'm over time now. Soon as they get across Jordan, what's sitting in front of them? Jericho. This humongous fortress of a city with walls. Some of the scholars say they're almost 100 feet tall. Unscalable. You're not getting in there. Now how, God, I thought we were coming into the promised land. You are coming into the promised land, but now you've got to work. Now you've got to work. And the normal way that someone would assault a city like this, if you'd surround it, the people would run out of food and water, and they'd have to come out. But Jericho had the water supply inside the walls. And Jericho had food stores. And places, people that had tried to assault them in the past, or cities like that in the past, would run out of food for their army outside the city before the people in the city ran out of food. So that strategy wasn't going to work. So God told them, through Joshua, you need to march around this city. And that's what they did. They had the trumpets, the ark, the priests, the rear guard. They marched around the city. And they went back to camp. And the second day, they marched around the city. And the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, they marched around the city, and they went back to camp. But then on the seventh day. You know, you think about how they were feeling then. How would you be feeling on day 4 or 5? Would you be feeling like you were accomplishing things? Nothing had happened. But they were obedient. They were obedient. When you come up against an obstacle, do what God tells you to do. Even if it seems crazy. Sometimes you'll get there later and you'll be like, you know what, that was the right thing to do. And I just couldn't see it then. But on the seventh day, the instruction was to march around the city 7 times. And when I tell you to, I want you to shout. See, God was going to tell them when to shout. God was going to tell them. They didn't have to guess. March around the city, and I don't want to hear anything while you're marching around the city, but on my word, shout. And they marched around the city, and then they came to a stop, and the trumpets blew, and they shouted, and those walls fell. And it says they fell flat. I mean, it's almost like they fell like a ramp to let Israel go up and take the city. Brethren, we have to prepare for blessings. We have to participate in our sanctification. We have to celebrate the blessings that have happened. We need to set up memorials to remember the blessings, to remind us to praise God. We need to be ready to shout from the rooftops when we get the blessings and let everyone know where they came from and let everyone know how great our God is. So what's standing between you and your blessing? Is it you? Is it your relationship with God? Is it your obedience? If anyone needs to ask for prayers or needs anything at all, we're about to sing a song, and I'm sorry I went long. Come up here. We'd love to be there with you. We'd love to help you. If you're not saved and you know what to do to be saved, this is your chance. Come up. Get that joy and peace from being baptized. If you don't know what you need to do to be saved, then come to me or come to any of the members. We'd love to talk to you about it. We're about to have class in a minute. We'll go and talk to you during class because there's nothing more important than saving a soul. If you have any need for the invitation, please come forward while we stand and sing.